welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's win against Celtic Hearts, preview this weekend's cup tie with Elgin City, and we'll be having your away day memories. Yes, you are listening to the Blue Team Podcast once again. I am Colin Byers, and with me, as always, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are we this week?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. We have a win to talk about. First time this season, first time in 11 games, we actually have a win to discuss as well as everything else. Let's just get right into it. We've got a win, so let's talk about it. 2-1 against Kelty. Hard-fought win, I thought, with 10 men. But I think everybody produced the goods in the end, and it was a deserved 3 points, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure we'll touch on it in a bit. But I think it would have been quite easy from a win down to 10 men for the Heats to drop. Obviously, the form that we were on, the way things were going. It wasn't a classic game, but I think once we went down to 10 men, it would have been quite easy for the Heats to drop. Not a little bit of nerves and worry to set in. And then, obviously, Kelty go back in the game at 1-1. Even more reason that I thought the Heats might drop. But no, credit to them. Really good resolution for the team as well. Quite easy. It could have unravelled pretty quickly, but no, to credit, they were brilliant.
We talked about the importance of this game a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, we had the break last week. And how a key this game might have been at this stage of the season. Dropping any kind of points against Kelty would have been a huge, huge blow. So just how important was it to pick up the 3 points?
Well, we said leaving the stadium on Saturday, although we're bottom of the table, it's brought us right back in to the park above us. I think if Kelty had gotten anything for the game, also it would have left us rooted to the bottom of the table and almost cut adrift a little bit. As you said, I think anything other than a win on Saturday against Kelty would have been a poor result. I think some people, especially guys in my work, have said, oh, they'd have taken a draw. But I think we're in that sort of boat where we can afford to take draws at home against teams with respect to likes of Kelty. We've got to be set our stall to get 3 points. And thankfully, we've got that on Saturday.
It could be a key point towards the end of the season is winning games at home against the teams round about us rather than relying on results elsewhere.
Yeah, our season might not be defined by playing Dunfermline away and Falkirk away and teams like that, the upper end of the table. I think the teams that we should be looking to take points off, we've said it before, Clyde, you've also got FC Edinburgh and Kelly. I think that's the team that we should be certainly looking to win the home games and also take some away from home as well. And I think if you've got that sort of 3-4 teams competing at the bottom, if you win your games against them, you should be okay. And like I said, thankfully we've got that result on Saturday.
I said at the beginning there, I thought each man is going to maybe stepped up their game a little bit. There was a bit more kind of intensity to the performance. Do you think maybe that week off has maybe actually helped it a little bit? Do you maybe just team them out with the firing line for a little bit?
Yeah, I think they got a bit of a breather. It must be difficult for the guys week in, week out. We see it as fans, we go to the game, but it's difficult for the players as well. They're the ones that are putting their bodies on the line and going out every week trying to pick up 3 points. Sometimes we speak about with the higher up teams, the international break sometimes comes at the right time for a team. Obviously, the circumstances in which the game were postponed wasn't the best, but you've got to try and make it work to your advantage. And obviously not having that game against Edinburgh, as you touched on, and with all of that, a win against Kelty, you're hoping that is now the catalyst to put forward out a good run.
Yeah, we'll talk about the lineup then. There was two changes. Gillis and Prince dropped two. Gillis through injury, got a concussion through training, ball off the face. David Wilson came back in, and Andy McDonald came back in, and he reverted back to a 4-1-4-1, which is a familiar formation. And I think the back four with Wilson, McDonald, Jason Brown and young Wilkie at left back, for me, I think that seemed to be a little bit more kind of solid kind of base. And I think those three, Wilson, Jason Brown and Andy McDonald in particular, seemed to kind of work well together.
Yeah, I mean, it's guys who've seen last season. There's been a lot of comings and goings, as everyone's well aware of. It's been well documented. But the fact that you've got them three guys over here last season, a bit of stability, a bit of understanding perhaps, you know, as you said, it worked well, and I think the Lee Wilkin, the left-hand side, I thought was really good on Saturday. I don't think there was a bad performance, but there are certain players that maybe stood out a wee bit more than others. For me, Lee Wilkin was one of them. So yeah, I think that back three, back four combination of those four individuals is potentially a platform for us to build on.
It took us a couple of minutes to fully appreciate where Dixon was playing. And then we realised yeah, he was actually playing left wing, which is probably a position he hasn't played very often, and it's not a position he's going to play very often then for us this season. So I'm guessing he was put there maybe to kind of control or help Wilkie in that left side of the pitch. Maybe he thought Kelty's attacking threat was all be coming down the right.
I'm all for Jim trying new things and getting a poor run to try and get a result. But I wouldn't have had Paul Dixon at left wing as my first choice. But as you said, you hit the nail on the head. I think the fact that you gave maybe Lee Wilkie that little bit of protection on the left-hand side, you know, and it worked well. Obviously, I've just mentioned I thought Lee Wilkie was one of our better players. So having Paul Dixon in front of him was maybe the combination that, you know, proved vital.
Dixon's name's going to come up again later on, so I don't want to touch on it too much. Quite a good opening goal, I should say. Once I get my words sorted out,
it's the excitement of a win.
I just can't get it quick enough. Conor O'Keefe, he was it was mentioned in the pre-match on the website that he'd scored a wonder goal in training, and of course you know everybody says they score wonder goals in training, and everybody says that they can do this, that, and you've got to step up, and that's what Jim has asked him or asked anybody to do, is to step up, and I think Connor has produced two wonderful goals, and I'm sure at the end of the season we'll be talking about both as contenders for our goal of the season.
Yeah, I think in particular his first one, I think it's his composure and probably awareness to see where the keepers are. I don't think there's many players that would have tried what he did. The delicate little lob, I think it would have been quite easy to try and put your laces through it and smash it. Like I said, particularly the run that we were on, confidence is pretty low. But you wouldn't have thought that going by Connor's first try. You'd have generally thought he was a man that was banging them in, week out. So obviously he's been doing well at training, as the pre-match report said. So thankfully,
took
that in the game on Saturday.
Well, there's two things to pick up there, is what you said. I mean, eight, maybe nine, ten times somebody else might have, you know, tried to smash that, and it probably would have gone straight to the goalkeeper, or gone wide, or gone over the bar. The other thing is, as well, the goalkeeper standing about 3 or 4 yards off his line. How does he get lobbed for there is just unknown. But he's probably not going to get a better lob than that the rest of the season.
Clear away, so you think I had a better finish this season. like you said, I think the composure of him, because, you know, I think it would have been quite easy just to smash it at the keeper, and the way our luck's gone this season, it wouldn't have come off for us. But the fact that he's tried something a bit different, which is probably why he's taken the keeper away a bit by surprise, because he said he was a couple of yards off his line, but to get that projection of the ball, to get it up and back, doing it in the net, to only, you know, get into it, shows a good bit of skill.
To use a golfing terminology, I believe that would be a flop shot.
Yes.
So high in the air, but it doesn't go too far. There's actually, if you haven't seen it, there's a great shot from Kevin Wilson on the Peterhead Fans Group Facebook page. Just as the keeper's stretching for it, and the ball is still maybe, what, a couple of yards above him. So it just shows you how high he's actually hit it.
Yeah, it's a really good finish. Like I said, it'd been easy to smash at the keeper, but he's got that awareness round about him to realise that he's got to try something different. And I think that's probably why he has scored, because I don't think there have been many players on the pitch that would have expected him to take the lob, especially, as you said, by how he was in comparison to the goalkeeper and the actual goal. It's a really good finish.
It was good, because he's actually seen the initial shot, and he's followed it in. He hasn't just seen the shot and then just waited to see what's happened. He's seen a shot and he's followed it in and maybe forced the mistake for the defender as well.
Yeah, normally you'd say it's a sign of a good striker. He's followed up his shot. He's not quite happy with where it, you know, he's taking the first shot. Isn't it quite worked out for him? But he's got that intelligence to go forward and try and finish it in the second attempt.
Although I did read somewhere it was faith about 20 yards, but it was only about 8 yards. And we can see that for the highlights put out.
Oh, you were able to see this one, were you?
Oh, we opened that can of worms. Wait till the second goal. So, you know, we've got the early goal. Kelty have had a lot of the ball. And we've maybe said this a couple of times about teams coming up to Balmoral. They will have a lot of the ball. But they didn't seem to be using it that well or creating a lot of chances. And I think this was the same thing again. I think Kelty ended up with like 67% possession in the end. But particularly first half, I don't think really Tom Ritchie was really tested that much, even at 1-0 down.
No, I think there seems to be a slight change in the philosophy of play for Jim that will allow teams to hit the ball a wee bit more. We didn't seem to press as high up as we maybe once did. Whether that's a deliberate ploy or not, I don't know. But as you said, teams are coming to the ball and we're now having a lot more of the ball and a lot of the possession. But it's in areas that aren't really hurting us. You know, they're in their own half, are quite happy in triangles, are playing it, you know, in front of our midfield. And, you know, if teams are going to come up here and do that, then at the moment I'm quite happy for them to do that because they're not really doing anything to hurt us.
Yeah, and everybody seems to be well drilled and everybody seems to be well organised. And, you know, if the back four and then Ryan Strachan sitting in front of them are going to make things difficult, then so be it. I mean, I don't know how it's going to affect our nerves by the end of the season if it's going to continue. But as you said, if we are reducing their opposition to just long range efforts and they keep us doing virtually nothing all game, then obviously the tactic is going to work.
I think up until the Kelty game at the weekend, I think we were a wee bit leaky. We did concede a lot of goals from different areas for various different reasons, but as you touched on right at the start of the programme, the defence that we had on Saturday, if you can try and keep them and give them a run in the team and build up that partnership with each other, I think that will be a good basis to build on. And then, you know, managers have said before that once you have got a solid foundation to build on, then I concede goals, then you can work your way into games. So if you're constantly going to concede 2-3 a game, it makes it a lot tougher for your guys up front to, you know, try and get anything out of the game. So, if teams are going to come up to Balmoor and take long range shots and hit along the ball, but maybe not we it, at the moment I'm quite happy with that.
So we're going to we're approaching the half time whistle. We're thinking, right, 1-0 up, that's good, keep it that way. And then Cristiano Kazuka gets himself sent off, second yellow. Two yellow cards. After he's getting the first one, there's obviously a bit of disappointment that he's then got himself a second one so late in the first half, and that could then result in them coming back out at half time and really going all guns blazing, and then it didn't really affect us too much. But it's not what you would want to see just before the half time break.
No, you know, just needs to be a little bit smarter. It's, you know, I say just for him, it's for any player that when you're on a booking, you try and bring yourself to the referee's attention or try and be signed off. As you said, the timing of it as well, there's not a good time really to get sent off. But, you know, right before half time, it just shows your cards a wee bit more of the opposition. As you said, it could have hurt us slightly on this occasion, and didn't it? But on the flip side, I didn't think the referee was that great at the weekend. Wee bit fussy, wee bit stop start, like a card or two. But if you're on a booking, you got to try and bring yourself to the referee's attention.
Yeah, the manager said it in his post-match that there's no complaints for him, but it does mean that obviously he's going to be suspended. We've obviously still got Rusty out. Ola's still come back for his injury as well, so it does make things a little bit more difficult. However, you know, as we'll mention again, Connor will play that role as well if need be, but it's not ideal for Jim with all these suspensions, and I think that's maybe their second or third one already this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's far from ideal, but when you've got Conor O'Keefe, who will now have the confidence, he also had the confidence before he got the two goals going by them, but now he's got the confidence of the two goals as well. I would say Nate Crump and him starting up front. Obviously, he's come through being slightly limited, but, you know, one player's disappointment's another player's gain.
Yeah, you mentioned the referee. Might as well talk about him. I think his average for this season of yellow cards is about five or six. Funnily enough, as we mentioned before the game, we've only lost three games in the 19 that we've had him, so it's now 3-20. But he is quite a fussy referee. He does like a lot of stop-start, niggly little things. I don't think anybody in that stadium was particularly happy with his performance overall.
No, and obviously I don't want to track for the performance of our team, but the referee did overshadow certain things. And, a wee bit too fussy, didn't really try and let the game flow as much as what he could. And it was petty little things he was bringing things back for. And yeah, I just felt his performance didn't allow the game to flow. It could have been a better game had he allowed it, but as you said, I mean, he's averaging 5-6 cards a game. It sort of maybe tells you about his refereeing style rather than how the game actually went for us.
He missed I don't know if it was him or if it maybe the linesman or assistant referee, you could maybe put a blame on. He missed a kick out on Andy McDonald for Joe Cardle, which was right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And then late, or sort of, I wouldn't even say it was late on in the second half, he goes and books Tom Ritchie for picking up the wrong ball, if you like. So, you know, if you're going to, it's, you know, two different scenarios. One could have been handled a lot better, and the other one, it's just a needless yellow, whereas he could have just maybe had a word with Ritchie first.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're winning the game. I didn't really think it was a timeless employee that he had gone for. He'd apparently picked up the wrong ball. I didn't think that was actually possible to actually pick up the wrong ball. But he was very quick with the yellow card as well, wasn't he? Even just that I talked to, it was just straight brandish of the yellow. As you said, the kick out on McDonald, probably his linesman, assistant referee, they've got to play Merrill apart. I think sometimes the officials and the assistants, they want to get involved at certain times, but when it's a major decision, they try and potentially hide. We've seen that a few times this season, also quite a lot last season, where the assistants try and they get involved too much. But there's something as blatant as that. You know, if I say blatant, it was pretty clear that it was a kick-out, but it maybe wasn't spotted by many. But the assistant referee's got to help out his referee.
I would say as well, Andy McDonald reacted in the right manner, because he could have quite easily gotten himself involved with it. I know he did kind of had a mouth at Cardle, but I mean, he could have kicked out himself, and that could have been picked up by the linesman.
He's lucky Andy McDonald just gave him a mouthful, because as you said, he could quite easily have just, you know, fired a shot at him with his legs. So, yeah, again, maturity from McDonald as well. Quite easy for him to lash out, but again, he realises we're doing the 10 men, we're winning the game, so like people are still in trouble. But again, you've got to get the officials to help your, not just your players, but players in general. You know, if there's things that can't go on in the game, it needs to get stamped out, pardon the expression.
It was the only thing Joe Cardle did all game anyway, so and that's kind of shows you how poor a game he had. Anyway, the Celtic equaliser, 5 minutes into the second half, is exactly what we didn't want, obviously, with 10 men coming out early doors, them getting the equaliser, you then sort of feel that would maybe open up the floodgates a little bit. Nothing really that Tom Ritchie could do in the goal. I think Austin's taking a long range effort, it's hit the crossbar, and then it's been nodded back before he's even got off his feet, really, I think.
Yeah, he's unlucky. I think you could do it 100 times and the rebound off the bars and he got to come back to him. As you said, he was still diving for the first effort from the second effort to get in. But the way it happened in terms of it was so early in the second half, that's why I said right at the start, it was a credit to them, they letting the heads drop, because quite easily, when you're doing it 10 men with the best part of 35, 40 minutes still to go, to let your head drop. They didn't. And I didn't really think Kilty did that much in the game apart for that shot. So again, that's credit to the team and how well they worked defensively.
Yeah, because at this stage, obviously, we've come out and had to go 4-4-1. O'Keefe's played that lone striker role, and as I said, everybody was so disciplined, everybody knew what they were doing. You said rightly there, I think Kilty really had many opportunities after that.
No, they were quite limited. I thought the changes that Jim made, on hindsight, were good. I was a bit sceptical at the time. I thought it was going a little bit too defensive, because obviously 1-1, I felt it was a game we had to win. So that was my only criticism, but it worked out in our favour. Kilty didn't do that much, you know, even from the head, when we had 11, 10 men. So I think they struggled, but again, it was a team you know, a Celtic team that were struggling for confidence as well, which is why I thought it was even more important to get the win.
So the winning goal, second goal for O'Keefe, it was a wonderful, wonderful effort. 10 yards inside the Celtic half, and he spotted the keeper. He's obviously gone for it because it's quite deliberate. He spotted the keeper off his line again, and this time with a long range effort, which again is something that we will probably be talking about at the end of the season, and quite rightly.
Yeah, fantastic strike, really, really good. Again, the awareness to see where the keeper's at. You mentioned it to me on Saturday, 5 minutes beforehand. Obviously, he tried it almost with the other side, closer to the dugouts, slightly further forward, but again, the keeper was off his line. I don't know if that was a ploy by Kelly or not, they wanted a high, like a sweeper-keeper sort of thing. But Keith tried it earlier on the half, the opposite side, didn't quite work out for him. But you know, a second time he got lucky. He was aware of what he tried to do, but his execution on it as well.
Jameson and the Celtic goal didn't particularly a good game. I mean, I think it was more to do with his positioning. I think he failed to realise that we'd won the ball and just, you know, the first instinct would be just to maybe track back a little bit. But I think he just got to stood there and watch the bag and can go what he seed.
I think he genuinely thought that he wasn't going to shoot for there, O'Keefe. Yeah. And also he's trying to, also he can't play high line, but he's trying to keep a high stance with his defence are pushed up as well. And also Keith just hit it first time, going the back. Now, as I said, the execution on it is really good. The technique, quite easy to blaze him over the bar or put it wide the post, but he didn't sight it or just, you know, 10, 15 minutes beforehand. So yeah, really good finish.
It was such a flat trajectory, but it was hit so well. I think that's maybe which caught the keeper a bit as well. Whereas, you know, for there, you might want to try and get a bit of height on it. But as I said, this one's going quite flat.
Yeah, the more height you put on it, the more chance you have of like, getting over the bar and they dip in quick enough. But as you said, it's quite low, just enough to get over the keeper in the back of the net. And that, then I think he'll score many better goals this season, to be fair.
Yeah, and that's come from him, you know, winning the ball, I think, from a Tom Ritchie clear out. And he's made himself about when nuisance. He's one, you know, I think Dow was there as well, and that's maybe what we've been lacking. Maybe just somebody that's, you know, willing to put themselves about a bit, you know, because his movement once he was up in that role, his pace, he was getting in behind, he was in the field to get in amongst it as well. So maybe something that we have been missing in that kind of area.
I think we've missed somebody like Naya Payne last season was probably the example I would use. He was a nuisance of a player to play against because he didn't give you a minute's peace. Now, I'd say I disrespect the strikers and the guys that we've got playing up front, you know, just now, but I think Connor gave us that movement. He gave you the defenders weren't as set. They were never comfortable because he was always moving. And also he said it, the second one was him chasing the ball back there. Richie's clearance for the first one, which also his shot that he's followed in. So he's constantly on the move. And as a defender, you didn't came without a track him. Or do you pass him on? Do you let him go? So, again, that's maybe something that worked in my favour on Saturday.
You know, for being sort of boxed against the wall for much of the second half, Jack Brown maybe could have killed the game off sort of midway through the second half or towards the end. Had a shot at breaking from the midfield. Maybe once he gets into that kind of area there, he's just looking to get the ball on target, which he did, but it was just it was straight at the keeper. And it just shows that even though that we're down to 10 men, we are winning 2-1, there were still people willing to get forward as well.
We've mentioned it a few times now that this season that confidence is a massive thing in football. And even though we're down to 10 men, like you said, there's players willing to go forward and try and score. And I think the fact that we're winning a game, that confidence will breed through the team. And, you know, I think it will now give us a platform to go and build on, because once you get in a habit of losing games, it becomes really difficult to get out of. Now they've brought that duck, they've got the win under the hat, they're ready to go for the game on Saturday. I think that confidence now, you'll start to see a more positive outlook on the team.
Yeah, I definitely think that the second goal was key, and I think that just that gave them that extra bit of confidence as well to go on and secure the 3 points. And you've seen Jason Brown's reaction after. I mean, he called it relief, but I just think it was just sheer jubilation that actually that things were maybe slightly turning slightly.
Yeah, as I said, you know, a wee bit ago, I think it's difficult for the players as well. You know, fans, we see what's happening, but these are the guys that go into training as well. And, you know, confidence is low. It's, things aren't quite going their way. So for the guys to get a win on Saturday, they against them in a play, but in terms of, you know, the man sent off as well, and things just didn't quite go for them for the referee side of things. So the fact that they've got a win, they can enjoy their Saturdays. And like I said, I think now they've got that confidence from the win. I think they'll go on and, you know, certainly do a lot better if it was from the start of the season.
I think Nicky Lowe for Celtic really only had the only decent effort, or kind of half, well, he wasn't even really a half chance. It was quite a decent chance, actually. It's one of those where if he gets either side of the keeper, he probably scores. But, you know, if you're a Celtic supporter, you'll be looking at a game, you'll be thinking it's quite disappointing with the lack of chances that they created.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they'd have probably looked at that game as well and seen Peter Heaton won a game last season. You know, over 45 minutes playing against 10 men. Then I think they'll be happy with their chances that they created. So, with Kelly's point of view, I'd say it's pretty passive. Like we said, we're happy they're playing with the ball in, you know, their own half. As a Kelly supporter, you'd be disappointed that you're going to try to move the ball around quicker, try and stretch Pierre Head, you know, try and go down either the left-hand side because you came Dixon's age. Is he going to be able to track back as much and help out a young and experienced defender? So, the Celtic's point of view, I'd imagine, but disappointed. Thankfully for us, you know, we're related.
O'Keefe was obviously going to get the man of the match with his two goals, but there was a few other guys that he could have easily gotten it. I mean, Wilkie's we've mentioned a few times already. I think that was his best game so far, not just defensively, but I thought going forward as well. I think he was willing to get forward and get in behind the midfield and the Celtic back line as well.
Yeah, as we mentioned, he had a really good game, willing to get forward. And I think that experience of Paul Dixon, you know, it's no secret. I don't think Paul started his career, you know, brilliantly. But, you know, the role that he played on Saturday, I think, was partly to allow Lee Wilkie to go forward and his experience to help Lee out. So I think that combination worked pretty well. And as you said, you know, it was probably Lee's best performance in a Peter Head shot.
And Jack Brown, again, we mentioned Jack Brown a few times, but he just quietly goes on with his game, and doesn't really do anything spectacular, doesn't anything really wrong either, but he just quietly gets on with it, and you know he's getting to that stage where he's almost a 8 out of 10 every week now, consistently.
Yeah, you've taken the word from me. He's a very consistent performer. You know, you need them sort of players in your team. It reminds me a wee bit of Scott Brown, where he maybe one of the lavish things in the game, but you can, he's working away, he's trying hard, and he'll give you that, you know, 8, 9 out of 10 pretty much most weeks.
It is a win. It is the first win this season, and we're obviously delighted with it. We shouldn't get too carried away with it right enough, because it is just one win. But have we learned anything with this game, with this performance? Is a back four a better option than a back five, for example?
I think so. You know, sometimes you'll go with a back three with the two wing backs. I think a back four, the four with Ryan Strachan sitting in the, you know, that holding midfield role, I think could be the way forward. I think that we'll also learn is there's a lot of character in that team, because, you know, social media, it's great when you're winning, but when you're losing, it can be quite a negative thing to read and listen and watch. So, I mean, the guys will be aware of things that have been said and done. So for them to hear that character to come and, you know, win a game, which I'd imagine Jim would have said in the dressing room beforehand, it's now almost a must-win game, but it's certainly one that he'd have felt they certainly couldn't lose. So I think we've also seen the character side of the players. You know, that kind of be underestimated how important that is.
You mentioned the characters. I mean, we've mentioned Ryan before about the way he talks and manages the players around about him. Jason as well. I think he gets up for these kind of games as well. And that's maybe what we've been lacking recently. We've been relying on other people to take the bull by the horns, if you like. But I think Jim again said during the week prior to the game that he was asking these players, you know, it's time to step up a little bit rather than us relying on the one or two or the captain, if you like. So yeah, these guys are all there. As you said, they all know the scenario they're in, but it was great to see everybody sort of stepping up again.
Yeah, and also you've got the experience of Jason Brown. You've got Ryan, who's, you know, played, you know, over 250 games. These are guys that have got experience behind them. Paul Dixon as well. Okay, Tom Ritchie's very early on in his career, but he's played, you know, he's seen some big characters come through the door at Aberdeen in recent seasons. So, yeah, you're looking for the whole team to pull together. But like I said, the fact that we've now got a win, I think that confidence will really start to see a probably a more mature performance over the next couple of weeks. Next time we get a win every game, but I think you'll see a more mature performance from them.
Right, so let's go into some of your comments then. Obviously, a lot more positive feedback, I guess is what you call it. George Bocken goes, better performance, great goals from O'Keefe. Thought Ryan Strachan and Jack Brown were outstanding, which is obviously what we've just said. Michael Wilson, well done. See if you can keep the run going now. And I guess that's what we maybe touched on a little bit there. You know, it is one game, but can we then make it 2 out of 2? Can we make it 3 out of 3? And just maybe, or even try and get a pick up a draw here or there as well.
Yeah, like you said, it's brilliant that we've got the win, but you're wanting to then continue. I mean, the guys have seen how difficult it's been through the Premier Sports Cup and the start of the league. I'm sure they didn't like that, you know, feeling the defeat week in, week out, and they're picking up points. The fact they've got that win, they realise how important it is. Like you said, you're hoping that a run can get put together.
Lindsay Finlay says it was the first game she's missed in ages in the one, so does that mean that she's coming back again next week? That's the dilemma. Darren Strachan, delighted. My wee boy was buzzing after the second goal. I think we were buzzing.
Yeah, I think so.
We couldn't believe we scored 2 in one game. Ethan Stewart, Jack Wilkie, some player again, we mentioned him. Yeah. Terrific performance. Peter Stewart, great boost today, getting 3 points, especially due to 10 men. Some encouraging signs to build on, and again, kind of echoing what we've been saying, that's the platform now for these guys to go on and build on from this.
Yeah, an important word you used it as well, boost, because that's exactly what it's got to give the team. It's got to give them that boost to then go into the next game. So also the game on Saturday against Elgin, but you've now got that win behind you. It's like, well, can we go, you know, what can we do in the cup game, and then you look forward to the league games coming up thereafter as well. So yeah, I think it's like a good word to use. It'll give them like a really good boost.
Graham McLean, looking forward to a full squad availability, and this will be the start of our climb out of trouble. So yeah, that's another thing for Jim. You know, once he gets a full squad, i.e. nobody suspended, nobody getting sent off, and all these injuries coming back, it will be a problem for him, because he's got such a big squad at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult keeping everybody happy, first and foremost. But I guess the positive from that is that you can, if you're not in a good game, that there's somebody on the bench willing to take your place. And if your still standards are slipping, then you'll be with the team altogether and you're going to be playing. But it's getting that consistent level. You don't want to be changing the team 5-6 players at a time, but you want to make sure you've got a really good competition for places, which I think Jim has now got a squad of.
Just a couple more. Alexander Main, silly sending off, poor referee, far too easily conned. Much better when Dixon was subbed. We've obviously mentioned him a few times already. Looks like he's going to get sent off every game when he plays. Maybe slightly harsh, but there is a suggestion maybe that we've seen signs that he is, when you say struggling to adapt, because he played League One for the last couple of seasons at Falkirk, but it just doesn't seem to be clicking for him at the minute.
No, for whatever reason, there's just something not quite there. I'm not sure if the comment's harsh. I just think sometimes his decision making could be a bit better. I'm not sure whether, you know, this is not an ageist thing, but what he wants to do in the time that actually processes and gets it done, you know, is okay in a split second. The bark and the pass shape. I think the penalty the other week, 3 weeks ago now, he's also tried to clear the bar, but he's caught the player and the penalty's given. It's just little things like that. I think Well, I would say, I certainly think if he was on a booking, I wouldn't keep him on the pitch too much longer.
No, and I think he's been hooked in the last two or three games as well.
Yeah.
Especially after the last home game. As you said, you mentioned the penalty, he was teeing off within a couple of minutes after that.
Yeah, and
you
could see, minutes.
You could see the disappointment in him when he was sitting on the bench. So, I get he's a captain, he's obviously been made a captain, but you know, for the sake of the team, we maybe just need to take him out of the equation. And once, actually, then that was it might bring us on to the next game, but once Max Gillis is back as well. You know, he could be shouting for a place in the team, and quite rightly as well with the performances he's been playing. But the guys that played in Saturday, they've got a full right to say, "Well, we won the game, we all played well."
Why was this? The top class manager say you never change a winning team.
Well,
you know, so I mean, yeah, because I'm sure somebody would be disappointed if they weren't playing and yet we've got our first win in the season. But it just shows you that there is some good players in the team, and you know, if Max is to take a seat on the bench, you know, it just shows that the quality that is there.
Impact subs, maybe, if that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Right, so we'll move on. Something we should have done a couple of weeks ago, but you know, time just got by us so quickly. Away days. We asked you about your favourite away day memories or away day grounds. Away days, you and I have been on many away games, away days. Sometimes the result doesn't even matter because because sometimes that's you're on a hiding and nothing. But it's actually sometimes it's the things that happen when you're away from home. There are so many stories that that we could tell, and that's what makes an away day so different from a home game at times.
Yeah, I think. You know, there was a couple of games. We've been at Tynecastle a few times. I think there was also a game that we were up in Inverness, a Monday night game. It was scheduled for a TV. Absolutely Baltic, as it would be in the Highlands. I certainly think that the away days, for some reason, they just seem that little bit better. Whether that's because you've got some alcohol in your system, you know, just makes everything better. But yeah, sometimes the football comes second nature when you go on away day because it's who you're with, the company that you enjoy.
And I think since the pandemic, I think we appreciate away day more now, I think, as well, because you go to grounds where, because obviously that time it was all sort of taken away for you and you just took for granted that you could just go in a game, whereas obviously during the pandemic we couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate that we got into some places through COVID when everything was, you know, heavily restricted. I think it made you appreciate how much you miss football as normal, and as normal as it can be. You know, and I think obviously things are back to normal now, so I think you probably notice it more now, especially in the Scottish Premiership. There's a lot of teams now saying they've sold out their away allocation. So I think folk have got that hunger back for supporting their team away from home, you know, and that can only be a good thing.
Is that one stand or three stands for the salary? That's another topic. Right, so first then, Stephen Perry, he says that he's the worst ground he's been to is East Stirling, and the best was Fir Hill. Got to confess, never been to East Stirling, but I have been to Fir Hill. That was the Tatty Park last season as well.
That's right, yeah.
Jason A is and his best was at Dens Park, before the two stands were built, so it's obviously going back a wee bit. Great atmosphere. Worst was Inverurie Locos. Nothing wrong with the ground, but it was heavy rain and he lost his car keys. So again,
that's
what happens with the bar experience. Neil Thompson, best thing was Ibrox when we won 2-1. Which I think everybody would probably say that as well. Never been to Ockle View. Never been too keen on Ockle View. The stewards are a pain. Meadowbank looks like it's got to be a nightmare as well. And obviously we've seen the photos at the new FC Edinburgh Stadium. Stewarding again is another massive issue. Sometimes they can be, I say Billy Big Bollocks, but they think they're above everybody else. They are just the stewards after all.
Yeah, well, obviously they're there to do a job, but I sometimes think stewards maybe go a wee bit too fussy. You know, we're all there to enjoy our day. As long as you're behaving sensibly, you really shouldn't be attracting the attention of the stewards.
Lee Asselman, I'm going to mention this one. The 1997 qualifying cup final at Christie Park, again at Huntley, Peterhead 8, Fraserburn 0. I think that would be, if anybody was at that game, that would be high in their good away days. Brilliant result. I think it was raining that day as well. Michael Wilson.
Shock, rain in the north.
Aye. Michael Wilson, worst ground visited, East Stirling again. Absolute stinker, best was Ibrox. Nae saying a lot for East Stirling. I mean, it's too, although we're not going to be going there very often because they're now in the Lowland League. Maybe that's the reason why.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been there, but going by that two comments, I think it's a ground that I'll be desperate to go to either.
And finally, Graham McLean. Now, Graham, as you know, does the tonneau at Balmoor, has given us basically a massive paragraph of various stories and things. Obviously, not going to go into them all, but it looks as though that he could write his own book in terms of things. But one of the things I've picked to is the 5-3 game at Falkirk. He was doing that and watched Rory score all five goals there. Obviously, a tremendous result. I think probably a once-in-a-lifetime performance for Rory, and to be there to witness that as well must have been something special.
Yeah, there are certain games that stick in your mind for various reasons, and the fact that Rory scored five in that game, I'm sure that's why it sticks out in the mind for Graham. And yeah, terrific performance, and also an even better performance for Rory as an individual.
Okay, so thanks to you all for getting those in. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we asked you for it, but as I said, the last time we were going to date, time ran out, and obviously we didn't record last week, so we eventually got to it. So we're now going to one more signing. Another week goes by, we've got another signing. We've now got a Dutchman by the name of Laurent Van Rooy. I hope that's how it's pronounced. Although I don't need to worry about that. That's something
that's Graham's problem.
That's Graham's problem. Obviously, we don't know too much about him. Just know that he's Dutch. He's a Willem II youth player. Can play at number 10 or on the wing as well. And it's a player that we've been sort of crying out for. You know, we brought in Hevzala a couple of weeks ago. He can play in that role as well. Now we've got Van Rooy in as well. It's adding more players into positions that I think we needed, and I think you mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, that's the attacking midfielders is something that we were really needing.
Yeah, I think the link-up play between the midfielders and striker was a big problem for us. There needs to be a better link-up play, so the fact that we've now got two players that have come in that are able to do that job, I think it also tells us that obviously that's the players that Jim's brought in, but that's a formation role that he wants to play. He wants to either play a shadow striker or an attacking midfielder in that role, which is good to see. And you know, as has been mentioned already, once we've got a full team and everybody back fit and the suspensions, then if you've got your players that he wants to play on the pitch, these new signings, it'd be good to see how we get on.
It is exciting to see all these new guys coming in, and obviously they are. We think they're a bit different from what we're used to seeing as well. So it'll be exciting to see them once they eventually obviously get the relevant paperwork because of the where they're coming from, Brexit being the issue. So again, you know, it is exciting times ahead, and we've still got other players to come back from their injuries as well.
Yeah, now that we've got this players coming in, like you said, it's a bit different. Some people's some people will say that, you know, you can, yeah, there's good players in Scotland and you've got the local homegrown ones. Yeah, completely get that. But the way things are going, and, you know, I wouldn't name names, but there's maybe certain players that we've got that you think, well, maybe could have done better. That is the only reason we've taken that player, because he didn't have a club that he's played at a high level before. If we're trying something different, you know, I'm all for it. If it doesn't work out, then fine, they can be moved on. In January, if it's not worked out, or in the summer, but at least we can turn around and say, well, Jim should have tried something different. He's, you know, it was mentioned in the media about a month ago, he's trying every different avenue to try and get players in. So, you know, you can't fault him in that sense.
These guys are leaving their home countries. They're, you know, to try and get a contract some way. They've got to be applauded for taking the initiative and going, right, I'm available, this is what I can do. We've taken him on trial. Jim and Davies seen him fit the Canadian training. Obviously, they like what they've done, and you know we're signing up for the remainder of the season. And we've said before, if it turns out that he's a fantastic player, gets attracted by another higher up, so be it. He'll move on. That means he's doing well for us. And in the end, it's a year. If it doesn't work out, then that's it. You're not losing anything. You're not spending massive amount of money on these players to come in.
As long as when they do move on, we get a fee for them when they burn. But Jim must be a very good seller, because to convince somebody to come to Holland to come to Peterhead in a cold winter, if they're needing a Saturday, would take some doing. But yeah, credit to them. They've tried something different, and you know, hopefully it pays off.
Okay, so we've got one final thing then. We now have Elgin in the SPFL Trust Trophy this coming Saturday. It'll be the first competitive game between the two sides in over 3 years. I know we played each other in a friendly in the summertime. It's fair to say that team or squad that played in the friendly, it will be nothing like what's going to be turning up on Saturday.
No, they're a completely different team. Yeah, and you're hoping for a positive result on Saturday. I mean, some folk might say they're disappointed that they've got a league game to follow up in. You know, but obviously it's a chance to progress in a cup competition, which, you know, it boosts funds coming into the club. So, yeah, I'm sure the players will be wanting to go to the next round as well.
I was going to say, because, you know, you've won, you've got your first league win. You now have to wait 2 weeks before you play that again. But this is maybe a game that we can look at and say, well, we can carry that momentum on going into the next one. I know it's away at Dunfermline and they're flying high, but if we can get the confidence building again with another win after this game, we could go into that Dunfermline game in a much better position in terms of our confidence than we were maybe a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, 3 weeks ago, you know, when the draw was made, I was not really that fussed about the cup. I felt it would have been an unwelcome distraction to the league, because obviously my priority, you know, even still at this point in time, it's remaining in the division. But now that we've got the win the week before, it gives you that game where you didn't have 2 weeks in between and then awaited on Firmland. You've got a home game against a team lower down. You're like trying to get through the next round of the cup, and if you've got two games that you can win, the confidence going down to Dunfermline is completely different than what it'd have been, you know, 8-9 days ago.
We've got a great record against Elgin. We've won the last 12. We've not lost them since 2013. Does any of that make any difference? Because it's been such a long time since we've played each other in a competitive game. And obviously the squads for both sides have changed dramatically over the last 2 or 3 years.
I don't think either manager will be, you know, pulling out the stats and statistics of the last 12 games. I think they'll very much just play on the basis on Saturday. But there is certain teams who you seem to fare better against than others. You know, thankfully they've got a really good record, as you've just mentioned. So, yeah, you'll try and take the positives and go, well, you know, we're unbeaten in 12. But I'd imagine the manager wouldn't pay too much attention to that record.
Would it be a disaster if we did lose the game? I know we talk about the confidence and try to build on that win, but at the end of the day, is this going to be a big concern? Is this a big focus, do you think, for the team?
I think the fact that it's a home game against a lower league team, I'm not sure if there would be too much concern with team, but I think the fan base looking at it, I certainly feel if, you know, you leave a game on Saturday and you've lost, coming out at 5 o'clock, you've lost at home to a lower league team, it sort of overshadows the win against Kilty, against different competitions and everything. But then you go on a away game at Dunfermline and your outlook on it is completely different to what it would be if you get through. So whilst I don't think it's the be-all and end-all, I certainly think you want to be getting through and going into the next round, but for confidence sake as well.
And because it's Elgin as well, you know, it'll really lose to Elgin.
Well, no, there is that as well. You want to make sure you maintain that a good record.
Their key man's obviously going to be Ken Hester. 6 goals in 7 league games so far. I think if we can keep him quiet, I think we'll be doing well.
Yeah, he's a player that we've said off record as well that we like him at Balmoor. I think he's a really good striker. He's a nuisance, but I'm sure it's a challenge that Jason Brown will be able to relish on the Saturday.
And do you anticipate many changes to the lineup?
Personally, I think he might take in Max if he's fit. Maybe that might be the only change. I think he'll make wholesale changes, make 4, 5, and 6. I think he'll maybe try to want to keep it as best he can. But I think the format Max is on, what he was moved, I think he's worthy of a start.
Because it'd be interesting if he did sort of see this as maybe a distraction, he maybe would make changes. But because we've won last week, he wants to build on that without, you know, going into that Dunfermline game.
Yeah, I think for me personally, don't make too many changes against a different competition, but you want to make sure you get another win because, you know, they've been few and far between. You want to give the guys the best opportunity to get their confidence up. And, you know, it's a team game, so I'm sure even the guys that are sitting on the bench, it maybe isn't quite worked out for them the first 6, 7 games. But, you know, the confidence that they'll have, the win on Saturday, and again, potentially another win on Saturday coming, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Okay, now on the podcast, I have Elgin City supporter William Henderson, who's going to tell us all about the Elgin side of things for Saturday's game. William, thanks for coming on the podcast. How are you?
Yep, not too bad. Thank you for inviting me on. It's a pleasure.
Not at all. Coming over to the Rivals podcast, was that coming over to the dark side, maybe?
Yeah, well, I don't think many people wanted to do it, to be honest. I bit the bullet and here I am.
we're offering the olive branch, if you like. That's what it
cool.
is. So we've got the SPFL Trust Trophy coming up this Saturday. As you said, we're at home. You guys are coming up. Are you looking forward to the game? It's the first time that we've played each other competitively for a wee while.
Yeah, well, apart from the Borough Briggs Cup, we'll maybe leave that one.
Well, yes.
But yeah, it's been, I can't remember the last time I went to Peterhead away. It's been a quite a long time, but I always enjoy it. A lot of the lads go along and it's usually a great day out, and I don't think we've been very lucky in ways of winning in Peterhead. I think maybe once since I can remember, and that might have been back in 2011 maybe. So we've not been very fortunate in Balmoor, but we'll be there. We'll still be there.
Is it a game, even though it's been a while, is it still a game that Elgin supporters are looking forward to, you know, even potentially trying to get one over us?
Yeah, I would say so. I think the rivalry is still there. People still definitely have that. It's the history is there. So people do look forward to the likes of Peterhead away. I think the club are running a bus to it, so there should be quite a few fans through, and hopefully we can get the win.
how's your season going then? I think you're sitting in the 7th at the minute. Is that a fair reflection on you know, performances, or do you think you should be higher up?
I think that's probably fair, to be honest, but when you look at the recent games, there is progress. You can see that there's definitely progress being made, even from the very start, like from even the Borough Briggs Cup. We were scoring goals then, but the opposition wasn't that great. It was like friendly sort of games. So as we got into the start of the season, I think we started off a bit iffy and people maybe thought, we're unsure. I think everyone's a bit nervous at the start of a season, but now that we're getting into it, I actually think we've only been beat once in 8 games. So that's usually unheard of, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Quite a lot of draws in there. But again, the progression is, you can see the progression the team is making. So I think that they're only going to improve, and it's early to be looking at the table. But I reckon we'll get up there playoff sort of position eventually.
Yes, yeah, so is playoffs a good marker for you then? Is that where you're hoping to be at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I reckon the majority of Elgin fans and the club, they see Elgin out of this league and above, possibly League One. Championship might be a bit of a jump, but League One, yeah, I reckon we could be in there. I reckon the ambition has to be to go up. You've got to be aiming for as high as you can, and the players, they can take that as well. They've got aspirations. They obviously want to play at the best club they can. So hopefully this term we can get back into the playoffs and push on from there.
Is this cup seen as a distraction for you guys? You think it's something that realistically is a high priority, or because we've been drawn together, it's a game that you really want to win?
I think Elgin, actually, the majority of fans that I speak to, they certainly give this competition a lot of respect. Mm. And I actually remember when we had a good run, we got to the, I think it was maybe, was it the quarterfinals? We had knocked out Dundee, and then we got beat by Raith Rovers. But I remember at the start of that competition, I actually said, I was speaking to Gavin Price, and I was asked him pretty much the same question, and he said that they're in the competition to win it. So that's how they're looking at it. And yeah, you've got to give these competitions respect. Mm-hmm. You've got to try your best. The fans, the club, the players, once they're on the pitch, once they've got the jersey on, they've got to perform. If a player puts in his best effort, you can't knock him.
Yeah. When we were recording, we mentioned Kane Hester as a player to potentially look out for. How good has he been for you guys for, what, 3-4 years now?
I think Kane's had a bit of a slow start, but now he's certainly knocking them in. And Saturday just passed, some great football from Kane. But like the whole team, you can see it gelling together. You can see them all working for each other. Along with Kane, you've got Russell Dingwall, Brian Cameron in the middle, and they're certainly ones to watch, although yous all know that already. And of course, Darryl McCarty at the back, he can be a danger all over the park, and he scores goals as well from the back, mm-hmm. which is pretty much unheard of, to be honest. But yeah, I've got high hopes for Saturday, but I think yous have picked up as well in terms of performance, so yeah. It could be quite an interesting game.
It could well be. You mentioned a couple of players there. I think Gavin Price, along with Kane Hester, have signed sort of 2-year deals recently. How key as well is to try and keep that core, try and keep that same sort of squad going forward without making too many changes?
I think for Elgin, it's key to progression for Elgin, because a lot of the time, Elgin have kind of got their hands tied. They're a part-time club. They're in a geographical nightmare up here in Elgin. You all know similar yep. yourself. A lot of players, they don't want to come up here. They don't want the travelling, and it's a part-time club. That could possibly put people off. So they've got their hands tied quite a lot of the time. But I reckon this season, there's certainly progression there. And Kane will be a big part of that, hopefully. And a lot of the other players as well, they'll be certainly pushing us forward, hopefully.
You're expecting to be a good game. What's your score prediction going to be then?
Oh, to be honest, I think it's going to end in a score draw. So I think maybe, is it penalties that it goes into?
I think it could be. The rules seem to change on a yearly basis.
Yeah, it could be interesting if it goes into penalties. So I'm hoping not, because I actually hate penalties. I cannot stand them. Honestly, I'll leave the stadium. But I don't know. I reckon it'll be maybe 2-2. I'll go with that. But hopefully, of course, Elgin can nick it. You never know when it's Elgin against Peterhead.
Yeah,
you would just never know, to be honest, in the cup as well. Both teams a bit of a shaky start, but picking up in terms of performance. So, yeah, I reckon it could be a good game.
Okay, William, thanks very much for coming on. Hopefully it wasn't too much of a drag for you coming on the Peter Heed podcast, but appreciate you coming on and give us your thoughts. And as I said, hopefully it will be a decent game for both sides.
Yeah, good man. My pleasure. Take care, bud.
That is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it once again. My thanks goes to William Henderson for coming on to discuss the Elgin City game, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Great win on Saturday. Let's hope we can continue and get that momentum going again. Thank you for listening. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.